Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be having a wonderful program today because we're going to be talking about positive happenings when you are going to be having someone pass on to the other dimension of life. And it's so wonderful to be able to have as a guest this delightful lady, Elisa Al-Chokachi. Now, this is a woman that sees death, has seen death on a regular basis. And most of us just can't imagine being involved in a life that would entail that kind of a reality. But I want you to know something. She's going to be sharing some very special stories with you that'll make you realize that there's a lot more to life than and death than what you could ever imagine. Elisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so very much for having me, Donna.
You are a certified hospice nurse and a fellow in thanatology. What is thanatology?
So thanatology is the study of death, dying, and bereavement.
Wow. Okay. Now, it was a new word for me. I've not heard it. I've heard all kinds of other things with that, but I had not heard of that one. Tell us how people get involved with this kind of study. I mean, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was one that was one of the leaders in dealing with this component in life and in the American culture. So frequently it was something that, well, you just don't want to see it happen, especially in the modern world. Old days it wasn't that way. But in the modern world it has been very much that way. It's almost like we try to sanitize everything so that this is just something that, well, no, it's not going to touch us, which of course it does. All of us are going to die at some time. How did you get involved with hospice? How did you get into the study of this thanatology? Let's go into some detail about that.
Sure. Well, I have to say that hospice is a calling.
Mm-hmm.
And just about anyone you speak to that works in the hospice field is drawn to work there.
Mm-hmm.
It's inexplicable. Because it's a very sacred and special time. You know, when someone thinks of hospice, initially they just think of dying, but actually hospice is about living. It's
That's
about
true.
Helping that patient and their family members, you know, maximize the quality of the time that they have together.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a hospice nurse, you go in and you help. You know, whether it's on a physical level, you're helping to, you know, alleviate symptoms, you know, perhaps through adjusting medications and so forth, you know, obviously under the, you know, direction of the doctor. But we are the eyes of the doctor, so what we assess and we go back and we say, this is what's going on, this is what we think that we need, and so forth. Then it might be that there's emotional stuff going on, whether it's that dying person is, you know, really, it's hitting them and you need to be there with them. Or perhaps it's the family members, the loved ones that are having the difficult time. So there's that emotional component with support from social workers and bereavement counselors and so forth. And then also the spiritual piece. We have non-denominational chaplains, but it's part of my job as a hospice nurse to actually address that when that comes up. And
mm-hmm.
that's what I love about hospice is it's very holistically minded. So it's body, mind, spirit, and they're one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just because our physical body dies doesn't mean that that's the end of that person's existence, life, essence, or the end of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, certainly what I've seen as I've worked with the dying and the bereaved, the more I do, the more I believe. Because there are so many signs of hope and assurance that life does go on.
You have in this book some absolutely wonderful, wonderful stories. And these are people from all walks of life, from all economic levels. And what touched me so deeply was the way the stories were given. And you feel like you're right there with the individual as their story is shared. And Cheryl Finkelstein's story about messages from generation to generation caught my eye because her family was, you know, very much an American family, but that she and, no, her mother and her father, let me correct that myself, her mother and her father had been raised in immigrant families that had come from the shuttle, the villages of Eastern Europe.
Yes.
And that grabbed me right away because I had the privilege of meeting a woman, and she's 87 years young. Her name is Renata. In fact, she was a guest on my show. She's a world-renowned artist. And that's the first time I had ever heard the word to my conscious memory of the shuttles, the villages of the old world that are no longer in existence. And this was such a special story. Tell me how you and Cheryl got to know each other and how this story, how you were able to get her to write all of this out for you.
Well, it's interesting. I not only do I work as a hospice nurse, but I also work as a healthcare counselor at North Shore Community College in Lynn, Massachusetts. And Cheryl was a vice president of the college, of our student enrollment services. Mm-hmm. So she was kind of my second level up or third level up boss. And I'm not sure. I was very moved by her. We have a English as a second language program, and she would always come in and speak about what it was like, you know, when her parents came to this country and what it was like for her, you know, to have parents who didn't speak English and, you know, that whole process to our students. And so Cheryl and I had a connection there. My father was also an immigrant. He came from Iraq. So anyway, but besides that, we just have a special connection together. And because I have a couple of other books, which she was aware when they came out, I had told her I was working about on this special book, the book that you are talking about, that we are talking about today, Miraculous mm-hmm. Moments, True right. Stories Affirming That Life Goes On. I actually formally started that in 1998 when Cheryl was still a vice president at our college. She has since retired. But when I told, I'd held this dream in my heart for even many years beyond that, but I formally started it then, and I told her what I was doing because she knew of my angel book and my pop-up book, and she shared this experience that she had with her mom and how special that was for her. And so I invited her to participate. And for me, it's not just the experience, but that whole life scene. You know, I want to know who this person is. I want to feel your feelings. I want to know how it was, how meaningful this experience was to you. And so I encourage people to tell their story, and was so delighted that, she went culturally all the way back. Mm-hmm. And for their culture, she, like she said, you know, it's quite common for deceased loved ones to actually come in dream time and visit. In fact, they expect it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's something that I have found in being involved in the work of mind for as many years as I have, every culture has something of this in it. And it was so touching to find out that when her mother was pregnant with her, that she had a dream where a member of the family, Cousin Slova, said, "You are going to have a baby girl, and I'd like her to, I'd like you to name her after me." Now, this was so profound. This was so vivid for her. She ends up having Cheryl, and, you know, bingo, she's given the name. And the rest of the women in the family, apparently it's Jewish tradition, you don't want to name a baby after members of the family that are deceased. Am I correct?
No. That had died early. See, this Slova had died young.
Ah, there we go.
And so they felt this was a bad omen. You can't name your baby girl, because, you know, the deceased grandmother also said, you're going to have a girl. You're going to have this girl, and I want you to name her after me. And so she says, you know, oh, she sees this as a wonderful omen, and she says, yes, of course, you know, I'll name her, and that's her intention. But when she shares with each of her mother or their family members, I think because it was the grandmother that came, you know, her mother and the mother-in-law, and they said, no, you can't possibly name her, you know, after someone who died young, because then your baby will die young. So they actually compromised and picked another name as well that was some family member that had lived for a long time to balance it out. So I think her name ended up being like Cheryl Linda, and maybe Linda was the one who lived for many, many years. Mm-hmm. So it was a compromise. But they do name after people that have passed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there's a part of the story. It's a beautiful story about her family, and there's a lot of detail in it, but the very end of the story, she talks about a little boy, Jalen, and she says that with Jalen, he was going to be circumcised, and she carried him into the room for the ceremony, and all the photographs that were taken of this baby boy, there was a strange white light in every single photograph.
Yes.
And it's amazing. So she said she knew that this was a sign. I think she felt it was from her mother.
Yes, she did.
This baby boy was going to be all right. So throughout her life, there have been these visitations through dreams, through certain things that she's aware of. And I think that this is so powerful because it really does make you aware about the very, very special gift that life is, and that when loved ones pass on, they are there still wanting to communicate with you. And it's just absolutely wonderful. You have a story in here also, and for those of you just tuning in, this is Miraculous Moments, and these are true stories. These are true stories. Deborah Hayes writes about her husband. Tell us about this very special event.
Oh, my goodness. So this story is called Our Hero, and Deborah lost her husband in 9/11. He was on one of the planes that crashed in New York.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we certainly all know about how 9/11 wreaked havoc in everybody's lives, especially for those who lost loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And Deborah was given many signs from her husband that he was there with her. You know, it's interesting, when the planes, at the same time that the planes, you know, her husband's plane impacted that first tower,
mm-hmm.
The power in her house went out.
Mm-hmm.
Actually went out, and there, everybody else's power in all the houses around her was on. Only her power went out. And, she would also, there were several things that happened for her. One really remarkable thing is, you know, when they decided to have a memorial service for her husband in the town, even though there was no body, there was no ashes, there was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There had to be some sort of closure for her, for, you know, if it could be closure, but you know what I'm saying, some sort of service commemoration to honor him. And on the morning that they're going to do this, and it's going to be an outdoor service, her little son, Robbie, who's 5 years old, runs downstairs, and he says, Mommy, Dad, you know, I just saw Daddy, Mommy. Daddy told me everything's going to be all right, Mommy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what comfort that gave her. That was the first time that her son, who was so attached to his dad, had mentioned him. And there he had a vision of his father on the morning of the service.
And
then,
go ahead, excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they go to the service, and, you know, it starts raining, and this magnificent rainbow comes out. Mm-hmm. And everyone witnessed it.
It's so amazing because her son continued to have his dad appear to him. Now, there might be some people who say, oh, this has to be a hallucination. This is just the kid wanting it. No, it's not that at all. The whenever his son is going to do a first thing, wherever, ball game, what have you, it's as if he shows up.
In some way, not necessarily a vision.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But in some way, there is this awareness. And he has seen his father more than once. And what I think is so beautiful about this story is that here's a little boy that was so deeply attached to his father. His father dies in a horrible situation, yet there's that love and that bond, and that little boy has been able to live with a feeling of continuity. He has not felt the aloneness that sometimes when people don't have these experiences have, and he's comforted. And her story is just absolutely marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. And I think that that's what makes your book so special. Because each of these people that share their story are coming from their life. They're coming from their paradigms. And they have the awareness that something very special has been given to them. You have this beautiful story about the blue heron with Gene Wood.
Yeah.
And this, I just think, is incredible because her mother dies, and Jean, like so many people, had been doing a vigil at the hospital. So many times when you have a loved one that is in hospice, which you serve, or in a situation like that, and you get so exhausted that finally you have to go home. And that's what happened. And her mother dies while she's gone. And there's many times this guilt that people feel. I wasn't there. That's so bad. I should have been there. I shouldn't have gone home. I should have just stayed in the chair and slept. Well, they didn't. And many times that allows the person to pass on when loved ones are away. That sounds very harsh, but it's true. And by golly, she had a series of experiences about her mother. Share some of those with us.
So her mother and Jean had a wonderful blue heron connection. And in fact, Jean had written an incredible poem that was called The Blue Heron that she had shared. And I wished we had room enough in the book to include it because it was exquisite. And but her mother was so proud, and she would go and do public readings, and she would read this blue heron, and that was always her mother's favorite poem, the favorite connection that they had. And so after her mother died, blue herons started appearing. You know, it would be down at she could be down at the cemetery, and the blue heron would, you know, always show up where there were no herons there before. And yet mm-hmm. the heron kept showing up. This one time she was feeling so, just needing to finish some unfinished business, feeling kind of bad that maybe she didn't do enough for her mother. And, you know, and so many people feel that. Did I do enough? And, you know, maybe I should have made more time or whatever. And this one, and she pulls into the cemetery, and right in the middle of the road is the blue heron standing mm-hmm. right there facing her face to face. And she knows that's her mom saying, you know what, I'm here. I'm with you. I love you. And, you know, I thank you for all that you did.
Mm-hmm. Well, these are just wonderful stories. What is one of the most impressive experiences that you have had personally in dealing with a patient?
Oh, in dealing with a patient.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will tell. I've had several experiences, but probably, you know, one that was very moving for me, and it is one of the stories in the book entitled God's Love.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great teaching for me. And it had to do with this woman that I had met. I was a hospice nurse, and I was going out originally just as a routine visit to check on her for another nurse. And at that time, she was still up and about and very active and independent. And, you know, when I met her, she was so spunky and, you know, and also absolutely determined she was not going to give in to her disease. Mm-hmm. She was still walking a mile around the block every day because she was going to beat her cancer. Mm-hmm. She had colon cancer. Well, many months passed, and I was on call this one weekend, and I got a call, a page that from her daughters, and they said, could you please come check our mom? She's seeming kind of distant. And certainly those who have lost loved ones and have been there when they're in their last days, there is this kind of space they go into. It's almost like they're letting go of the outer world. They're beginning this inner journey. And it's nothing that they do consciously. It just automatically happens. I think what's really happening is that they have a foot in both worlds. Mm-hmm. They're seeing things, experiencing things, and they're between both worlds. They see us, and they see something more than us. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, this one day I went to the home, and I went to check, and this woman, I called her Eleanor in the story. And I went to assess her, and her vital signs were okay, and she looked very peaceful and very comfortable, and I'd asked her if she'd had any pain, and no, she didn't have any pain. And so, after I had done my assessment, I went and talked to her daughters, and I said, you know, she seems very comfortable, but I believe she has begun the early stages of actively dying. And so I did the preparation that I needed to with the daughters, and then I went back in to see Eleanor. And I have this little thing where I always like to, you know, to do something to make it better for that, to that patient and that loved one. And, you know, I mean, yes, I did teach the daughters about what was happening, but I really wanted to do something for Eleanor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I went back and I, you know, once again, you know, any pain? No. Is there, you know, anything? I said, are you afraid, Eleanor? And she says, no. And she just, with a really just a sweet look. And I said to her, and I'd never said this to another patient, but before or since, but for some reason I felt like I needed to do it with her. I said, well, you know, if you ever do get afraid, Eleanor, I said, just look for the light. And she stops and she says, oh, I do. You know, and I said, you do? And she like nods and smiling, and she says, all the time. And, you know, the daughters had told me that she had been in this state for like 2 or 3 days. And so I said, Eleanor, I said, what does the light feel like? And she said, it's very warm,
mm-hmm.
and it's so comforting, and it lets me know there's nothing I need to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking back, this is the woman who was walking around the block, who was not giving up to her disease, and yet here she is in a state of total and utter peace and calm about what is and what is about to happen. And so I said to her, Eleanor, I said, what is the light? She says, for me or for you?
Why, that's that question.
And I burst out laughing, just like I'm laughing now.
Oh,
and I said, Eleanor, I said, for you, of course. And she just smiled ever so sweetly at me. And her eyes were sparkling, and she said, it's God's love for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think that was the best definition of the light I've ever heard, because God does love each and every one of us here on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a personal relationship with God. God shines love to each and every one of us. God's light is shining to each and every one of us.
Very well said, and I agree. You have a delightful story here. There's so many. For those of you listening, each and every one of these stories are something that when you read them, they'll touch your heart and your mind in a very, very special way. If you know of anyone that is experiencing the demise, the gradual demise of a loved one, or has gone through a very, very difficult time, like I was just listening here locally in the Seattle area, a mother just lost her daughter not that long ago. The daughter was driving and was texting at the same time, and she hit the back of a truck and was killed. You know, these are things that can happen. People can make their exits in many different ways. This really can help. This really gives you an awareness that there's a lot more to life than what you realize. A Promise Kept is the title of the story that I wanted to talk about. I just love this story because Libby Potter is the woman that wrote it, and she had her Grammy. This was one of her favorite people, and when she was a teenager, she and her Grammy would talk about death, and I think this is great. And her Grammy said, it's not something I'm afraid of. You know, this is something I'm going to be going through. Now, Grammy had a nursing home. And when she had originally started this, it was in the 60s, and she was going to be required by the state to have sprinkler systems and all kinds of things in it. But she had a beautiful, beautiful home. And she just really did not want to have to put those sprinklers in, because she had beautiful things, and she knew if ever they went off by accident or if they had to go off, everything would be destroyed. So she converted it from a nursing home to a boarding house, and eventually, by the 70s, she was pretty much by herself, and she had other elderly women with her. But when her Grammy died, before Grammy died, Libby asked her to make a promise to get in touch with her. And she said, I will. If I can, I will. And so her Grammy died in 1971. She was 19 years of age at that time. And a month later, she was in Grammy's house. And she saw her Grammy. She said she was right there. She was wearing a multicolored full floral apron, and she had she said it was on top of a pink and white striped seersucker day dress. She could see everything. It was like she had gone into a time capsule, and there was Grammy, and she was just so excited. But it was very, very interesting because there was her brother Richard, Libby's brother Richard. He had a very interesting experience over the phone, and this related to the story about Grammy, a phone call he received a few months after she died. What happened?
So basically, he got a call from the people who had bought Grammy's house, and they said to please come get their grandmother because she was still there.
Grammy liked her house.
She was still there.
Come and get your grandmother. And he's going, what? She died. She's not here. Oh, yes, she is.
Oh, yes, she is. Isn't that cute? Yeah.
Oh, it's adorable. I just love it. Elissa, this has been delightful. We are out of time. It just went by like the wind. Now, for those of you that would like to find out more about her wonderful book, check out Miraculous Moments, because these are true stories. Any one of them would make a fascinating short movie. But Miraculous Moments, and Elissa's last name is a Turkish name, and it's a fascinating name pronounced Al Çukurcu, and it's Al-Çukurcay. Al-Çukurcay. And you can go to miraculousmoments.com and find out information on the book and where you can get it and so on and so forth. But I really feel that this is the kind of publication that's really very comforting. When people are going through difficult times, you'll have a story you can share with someone that maybe can bring them peace or an awareness that there's more to life than what we usually see with our eyes. Life
does not stop just because you vacate your physical vehicle. Goodness, I had a friend, I have to share this with you, Alyssa. She was in her 80s, and her name was Madeline. Madeline was one of these spunky, doll, babyish type. I mean, she was just a doll. She was absolutely wonderful, just like the lady you talked about earlier. And somebody would ask her if she was afraid of dying. She said, are you kidding? The day's going to come when I want to get a new chassis. And she said, I want a better model than I had before. So, you know.
That's great.
She's going to get a Streamline special the next time she comes in. But
right. It
was this wonderful attitude that she had. And you have so many stories, whether it's relating to animals or dreams or people that actually come forth like they did with Libby. And they're right there so you can see them. They communicate directly. I've had personal experiences myself. These are things that are wonderful. They're not to be feared. And your book goes such a long way for doing that. I want to thank you so much for being my guest. For those of you listening, MiraculousMoments.com, a wonderful book to put into your library and to share with friends and with loved ones. Do check it out. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. Thanks again, Alyssa, for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Donna.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna, and welcome. The telephone lines are now open, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, don't forget, tomorrow, for those of you in the Pacific Northwest, I am going to be at the Emerald Spiral Expo, and this is a wonderful event. I'm really looking forward to it. It's a full day of activities, and I think that whenever you can come out to an environment that allows you to interact with people that offer products and services, and you have a chance to talk to people of different skills, such as myself, that are going to be right there available. You can ask questions, maybe have a conversation, saying, I've had these experiences, could you help me understand it? There's just so much available to you. So check out emeraldspiral.com. And again, it's just a one-day event. They have it twice a year, and this spring I'm able to participate again, so I'm looking forward to it, and I hope to see you there. Do stop by and say hello. Now, if you want to call me, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call in to. Now, quick like a bunny, I want to let you know about the people that are coming up next week. We're going to be talking about Sapphire Crashing Tiles. Now, this is a CD. Stephen Killen is the man that has put this together. The music is wonderful. And so we'll be sharing music with you. Then we're going to be talking about Visions of the Multi-Universe. Steve Manley, multidimensional universes. Do you believe in them? Do you not? Well, we're going to have a conversation with Steve to see what his particular perspective is. Buddha's wife, Gabrielle Constance, is going to be my guest. This is a man that did a lot of research regarding a cultural environment that Buddha was born into, but this is about women in that time frame. So we're going to be stepping back a few thousand years in history, and then Bliss Remembered. This is a phenomenal fictional publication. Frank DeFord is the author, and it is amazing. It is a story that just is incredibly accurate historically about someone that was very special in his life, and he's sharing their story through the factor of fiction. And then Tasting the Universe, Maureen Seberg is going to be my guest a week from today. So we've got a wonderful lineup of people. And shortly, all of the information about the upcoming guests for the month of April are going to be made available to you. So you can stay on the lookout for that. Don't forget, all you have to do is check in the BBS radio station 1, the Donna Sebo Show. You'll see show information and then the listing of the guests and information about them are all there for you. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you would like to chat. 888-815-9756. I really have to chuckle when I come across certain stories. There was one by Barbara Hedden. She said they pulled in to a parking lot and they saw a couple of people looking under the hood of their car. And her mother happened to be sitting next to her. She said, "Gee whiz, do you think they have a flat tire?" You know, it's amazing what will come out of our mouths when we're looking at something and it's obviously not that situation, but we'll say something else. It's just really something with people. We all do it at one time or another. By the way, I don't know about your section of the world, but here in the Pacific Northwest, we have been absolutely blessed with glorious sunshine. And something that we have been amazed at are the hummingbirds. Yes, we have put up a hummingbird feeder at the Sebo residence, and what we have found is those itsy-bitsy little birds are absolutely chugging down their sugar water, and we are astonished. As tiny as they are, they just take in so much. So for us out here, the hummingbirds are migrating in. We also have those that are staying in the area year-round, which was a big lesson for me. I didn't know they did that here in the Pacific Northwest, but there are a couple of species that do. And then we've got all these migratory birds coming in. We've got the woodpeckers that have come in. We've got all kinds of interesting creatures. The jays are out and about cackling. I say cackling. Those are chickens. But, I mean, they're making their particular sounds. They're very noisy. So spring is here. It really has arrived, although we have one storm after another that's going to be coming in. Doesn't make any difference. The sun's shining right now, and we're all yahooing and enjoying it immensely. So it really is exciting to see it. We're just thrilled. Now, I wanted to get to the last three sections of the horoscope here. We've done all 9 of the months, excepting for Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So we're going to be doing that, and then we'll be finished with the spring horoscope for all of the zodiac. Oh, digressing for just a moment, I would like to know if any of you listening have heard about horoscopes adding an additional sign. You know, we have the 12 signs right now. I was with a group of people, and they said that there is a new planet that has been discovered, and so they are adding a 13th sign, and that's going to change all of the other positionings of the other 12. So if you've heard anything about this, would you let me know, please? Send me an email to donna@delphiinternational.com. I would just love to know if that is something that actually is happening or if this is something that's just flittering about like so many things do. Okay, for those of you born under the sign of Capricorn, by golly, you're ready for a makeover. Those of you under the sign of Capricorn are saying, it's time for me to really make a shift. Your self-image is changing. You are looking at who you are, what you are, with a whole new perspective, and you're really going to be moving forward this year. you are making major strides in all areas of your life, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Also, when it comes to money, you are going to know that you are going to do better than you have before. If you have wanted to increase your income a certain amount, you're going to understand how you can do it, and you are going to go for it. The Capricorns, they're not going to be held back this year. You're going to have substantial gains. Also, if you have had something that you've been yearning to do for travel, something very special, a project that has really been very close to your heart and you haven't been able to really move forward with it, 2011 is the time to do it. You're going to find your creative juices are really going to be working overtime. Now, for those of you under the sign of Aquarius, boy, the home front, you're busy. You're going to feel like a multitasker of multitaskers. You're also going to really need to learn how to delegate to others what it is that you need assistance in getting done. You have a very strong focus on your family. You're wanting to make sure that your home front is the way it's supposed to be, and it is very significant for this season of the year. Now, when it comes to money, you are perhaps looking at a career shift, and you may need to learn something about marketing because your creative talents can be put to very good use along with your logical, grounded common sense. And if you're interested in investing in real estate, this is a very good time to shop around. This is a very good time to know how to make your money compound in a way that is going to be most compatible for you. Now, what about getting out, having some fun, traveling? Well, think about how you can do it most cost-effectively, because watching your dollars is going to be very, very important. Now, interestingly enough, it looks like during the summer there may be some special occasions that will enable you to make those trips that would be so meaningful to you. But it's up to you. It is up to you. You will find that as you make your determination of what you want to do, it's going to be accomplished. Also, we have the last sign, Pisces. Well, you are going to be strong in the heart area. The love and affection that you feel for family and those significant others in your life is definitely going to be very, very strong. Your self-confidence also is in a very level patterning. And you're going to find that it's going to be very easy for you to fold in friends into your life, into your experience, and adding new associations. And that can really assist you in the money area. But you need to be wise. Don't think you know it all when it comes to money, because you don't. Be willing to learn from others, but don't hand your money over to anyone until you put it all in the right place. Feel good about your learning curve, but don't give other people everything that you have because you think that they should handle it for you. You need to learn about money, how to make it work effectively, and then your money will work for you in the right way. So don't be in a hurry with this. Be in this learning curve. It'll bless you many times over. And for you, you are always willing to take a risk. You like spontaneous travel many times. You just want to pick up and go, maybe go to the coast or travel someplace you've never been before, and there's going to be opportunity for that. But again, you're going to be checking your wallet to make sure that you're going to be able to cover it, because you don't want to jeopardize the savings that you have accumulated. So planning is going to be part of it. The spontaneity, though, is a given, and you'll have a wonderful time wherever you go. Well, that is the end of the spring horoscope for all of the signs of the zodiac. I do know that we're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Let me give out the phone number again, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And that number is open. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then we'll take it from there. Donna Sebo here. Also, get yourself a pad of paper and a pen, because I have a wonderful recipe that I want to share with you. Yes, really good stuff. Do you like beef? How about short ribs with grits? Well, you may not be Southern, and you may say, grits? Who eats grits? Well, if you're from the South, you know all about it. Grits are Southern food. Oh, and it's not bad stuff. It's got a lot of good flavor to it, but you have to make it in there so that it does taste good. I'll share that recipe with you when you come back. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Every once in a while, it really feels good to have a hearty meal, and short ribs are something that, believe it or not, it's not often found in the store. Sometimes you have to actually ask a butcher for it. And I remember years ago, it was no big deal. You go into the store, you could find short ribs just about anywhere. And maybe in your store, they're pretty common. But in my neck of the woods, when I go to my local grocery store, because we don't have butcher stores anymore around like there used to be, but in your local store, you have to ask for them. And where they used to be considered a very inexpensive meat to buy, it's sort of gotten like chicken livers and your chicken gizzards. My goodness, they're $3 a pound or more. And your short ribs can be pretty pricey too. But this is something that goes in the oven, and they are absolutely delicious. They are wonderful, and they're so flavorful. And when I came across this particular recipe, it's such a basic recipe. And then the grits are so easy to fix. If you've never had them, grits are made out of corn. And you can buy them at the store, and they are just a staple. Instead of having potatoes, you have grits. And it reminds me of cream of wheat grits, if you've never had them. Of course, those of you listening in the South, you're going to say, well, my goodness, we have them all the time down here. But in many areas of the country, it's not so common for people to have. And you can get stone ground grits. Now, you have to find out where you can buy them, because some stores won't have them. Again, it depends on your part of the country. And it's just so easy. So let me give you the recipe for the short ribs, because for me, anything that's easier to fix that I can put in the oven or put in a crock pot, I love it, because it's easy. It just is so easy to do. Here we go, short ribs. Now, what you're going to do, you're going to preheat your oven to about 375 degrees. Your short ribs, and they're beef, you want to dry them with a paper towel, and then you want to season them with salt and pepper. And it's up to you. I'd say a couple of teaspoons of salt and a half a teaspoon of pepper. How about if I give you the actual weight of the ribs? Why don't I go through that first? That's a smart way to do things, isn't it? You're going to need about 4 to 6 pounds of beef short ribs, 4 to 6 pounds. And the reason you're going to need that much is because of the bone weight. You're not going to have all that much meat on each one, but it's really going to be good. You need some kosher salt and some freshly ground pepper, 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 cup of diced carrots. These are raw carrots, 1 cup of diced onion, 1/2 cup of thinly sliced celery, 4 cloves of garlic, and you want to mince those. You're going to need 2 cups of red wine and 1 can, 14.5 ounces, of whole tomatoes with juice, 1 cup of chicken broth, and then some fresh thyme and rosemary. And what you want to do is have the sprigs of them. Now, if you have to use dried, that's okay, too. You just want to make sure that you, you know, have maybe, if you're going to use the dried, you're going to need three. If it's fresh, it's three sprigs. So it's about a tablespoon, not quite a tablespoon of each, if it's dried. And that would be your substitute if you didn't have the fresh. So what do you do in a big pot? It has to be an oven-proof pot. You put it on medium-high heat. You put your olive oil in there. And then you take your ribs and you brown them. And you want to fix it in two batches. You don't want to put them all in at the same time. You want to make sure that you brown the meat thoroughly. And then once it's browned, put them on a plate. Just take them out of the pot. Now, you will take out all but about a tablespoon of the fat that comes from the short ribs, because they do have a fatty nature to them. Then you're going to put your carrots, your onion, your celery, your garlic. You cook your vegetables until they're just tender. It takes about 5 minutes. Then you mix in your wine, your tomatoes, your chicken broth, and your thyme and rosemary. Bring all of that liquid to a boil. Put your meat in the pot. Cover it. Take it off the heat. Put it in the oven. And just know you're going to take it out in about 2.5 hours. That's all you need to do. Then before you're ready to serve it, and all the flavors are just going to marry so wonderful in the oven. Then your grits, all you need is 2 cups of chicken broth, 2 cups of milk, 1 cup of stone ground grits, not the instant kind, but stone ground, and a little bit of salt and pepper. And your grits, maybe you should do it about an hour before you get ready to take the items out of the oven. You want to put your broth and milk in a big pot, and over medium-high heat, you want to bring the liquid to a boil. Take a whisk and pour in your grits. You want to whisk. You don't. Otherwise, you're going to have lumps in your grits. You want to whisk it, reduce the heat to low, and you cook the grits about 35 to 40 minutes. Now, these are the stone ground grits, so it takes them longer. It's like the difference between white rice and brown rice. Stone ground grits take a longer time to cook. They have a different texture. And then you can add a little salt and pepper if you want. And you serve it with those short ribs. Delicious. A salad, crisp bread. You've got a meal fit for a king. It's absolutely awesome. And you're going to find that it is something that just creates the most wonderful environment. Everybody that you serve it to is really going to enjoy themselves tremendously. It's that type of, I don't want to call it a little bit of soul food mixed in with a lot of hearty substance. It's really just a wonderful, wonderful meal. Perfect for company, too, because it's a low-stress preparation. Donna Sebo here. Again, I want to remind you, tomorrow I'm going to be appearing at the Emerald Spiral in Kent, Washington, at the Kent Commons location. Go to their website, and you will find all of the information you need to know about coming out for this wonderful event tomorrow. Here in the Pacific Northwest, it's going to be raining, a great place to go to. So come on out, get out of the rain, and enjoy some wonderful people, beautiful products and services, and fabulous conversation. Bring your family. We'd love to see you. Again, Emerald Spiral at the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. This is Donna Sebo, and there is so much in life we need to be grateful for. As I was interviewing my guest today, and I mentioned that I had heard on a local radio station here about a mother who is going about talking before assemblies in schools about how important it is for teenagers to not text and drive. Her daughter lost her life. As adults, we need to enforce the understanding that this is not a game. You cannot pay attention to texting and driving at the same time. It just doesn't work. Multitasking is not safe. It is not something that you should do, much less encourage young people to do. Cell phones. If you have to, turn it off. Put it on the seat. This woman whose daughter was killed by running into a truck because she was sending a text message. Her sister puts her cell phone in the trunk of the vehicle so she's not tempted to pick it up, because she used to do the same thing her sister did, texting while driving. If you have a young person in the family, they're going out with a friend, and they know that the friend that is driving is going to text, they need to take the item away from them, not let them use it. You wouldn't let someone drive under the influence of alcohol. They shouldn't be driving when they're texting. When I heard this afternoon, I was really, really sad for the family. All it takes is less than a split second for an accident to occur. So do pay attention, pass the message along to those young people in your family, and make other people aware. This happens. And there's a family, and there's more than one throughout the United States that perhaps is experiencing the same thing that this mother and her family just went through. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is a journey. Enjoy the process. You have a lot to be grateful for. Be grateful, be safe, and we'll be back here with you same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.